Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
Well, if you got your Bibles, you can turn with me to Luke chapter 2. We're going to pick up our series called Christmas Stories. I know every Christmas season, you and your family, you or your friends, are writing new stories. And we're looking at the Christmas stories. We're looking at the stories already been written in the Word of God and talking about how it can change our story as well, right here in the day we're living. I need to take a survey real quick this morning. How many would say that occasionally you are a little bit messy? Okay, how many would say you live with someone who's a little bit messy? Yeah, some of you are crazy. There's no way I would raise my hand to say that. But last Sunday morning after the second service, we had a thing called Newcomers Lunch. And if you are new to our church, you've never been to a Newcomers Lunch, we invite you to come to the next one where new people in our church come and we have lunch for them. We get to meet them. And we actually had that lunch right here in the front of the sanctuary. And we had tables set across here. And there were probably 20 or 25 of us. I don't know. But we were here. The Monday morning, I came in here and got ready to help tear down some stuff. And I noticed it was pretty clean. And right here was the most messiest spot in the church. And I immediately knew that's where my family sat. We are messy. There are crumbs on the floor, and I would like to say it was all Stella and all Nora, which is our 5-year-old and our 3-year-old, but I'll just tell you, I'm a little bit messy too. I really am. And I wish my messiness stopped with crumbs on the ground and stains on my shirt and dirt in my car and all that kind of stuff. But can I tell you, my messiness goes a little bit deeper. How about yours? Sometimes I just mess up in life. Sometimes I mess up in relationships. Sometimes you're not going to believe it, I even mess up as your pastor. I figured you were shocked. I didn't think you knew that happened, but it does. But I'm thankful this morning. The title of this message is this, Messy Messengers. I'm glad that Christmas reminds me that God uses messy people. So if you lifted your hands a few minutes ago and you said, yeah, I'm a little bit messy, or you know, I live with someone who's a little bit messy, whether you meant the mess on the outside of your life or the mess on the inside of your life, I came to give you good news this Christmas season. God wants to use you. He is all about using messy messengers. In Luke chapter 2, this is our Christmas story we're looking at this morning. Says in verse number 8 that there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." You might want to underline that phrase if you got a real copy of God's Word this morning that will allow you to do so. It says, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He's the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests.' And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off, and they found Joseph and Mary and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they'd seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds, in verse number 20, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." Father, we love you this morning. I'm thankful for every person listening to this message today, whether they're here in the room, watching online, or listening to a podcast maybe months from now. Father, I'm thankful that your word always works. And we pray this morning the word of God will work in our hearts. The Holy Spirit, you will anoint me to speak the words of God, the words of God alone. Anoint our ears, our hearts, and our minds to hear what the Holy Spirit wants to say to us. And we commit ourselves to responding to what he says at the end of this message. And we'll give you thanks for it. Everybody in the room said amen. Shepherds, I just want to say this out loud to set the stage. Shepherds are sort of messy people. You may say, "Pastor, why would you say that? How would you make such an assertion? Have you ever really known a shepherd?" Here's what I know. If you hang around sheep all the time, you start smelling like sheep. right? You ever spent the day wrestling around with your puppy dog in the ground? After a while, I'll just tell you, you start to smell a little bit like dog. No one's ever been honest enough to tell you that. Merry Christmas, there's your gift for the morning. So shepherds were not necessarily the most glorious people. It wasn't the most glorious occupation. If you'll just think about King David before he became king, when Samuel came to anoint him, you remember where he found him? He was a shepherd, so he wasn't even invited to the dinner table that afternoon. So shepherds weren't always the glorious occupation to have, no matter which type of shepherd you were. And Luke chapter 2 tells us a little about these shepherds, because it says there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby. And that phrase nearby kind of tells us something about these shepherds, who they were, because in those days it really wasn't kosher to keep sheep feeding around the village or around the city. So they were unclean animals, and so they wanted the sheep as far away from the city as possible, and those who were keeping them, they wanted those out away from the city as well, unless there was one exception to the rule. See, they sacrificed sheep all the time, and those sheep that were allowed to be sacrificed in the temple, they sort of got a way out of the rule. They could keep those sheep nearby, and those shepherds who kept those sheep weren't just normal shepherds. They were actually people of the priestly family, the priestly sect, who were given the job to keep the sheep that would be used for a sacrifice near the city, near the temple. So when the Bible says that there were shepherds nearby, it is most likely, probable, you could say, that those shepherds weren't just ordinary shepherds, they were priestly shepherds. They were shepherds who had the duty of guarding the sacrifice so that the next day or in the days to come, they could be brought into the temple and they could sacrifice those sheep to cover the sins of those people for that moment. I just find it ironic that it is those priestly shepherds who were in charge of guarding the sacrifice for God's people are the very people who the angel showed up and said, let me move you from guarding these temporary sacrifices to where I can move you so you can see the Savior of the world. The sacrifice that will not be many times, but one time for all time. It's that group of shepherds that he appeared to. And they weren't they probably weren't the most glorious of the glorious of priestly people. I mean, after all, they were shepherds. I'm not sure if they drew the short straw, if they got the short end of the stick. I'm not sure how they got stuck with that job, but they were no doubt messy messengers, but God chose them to welcome his son Jesus into the world. And I just want to tell you this morning, God is still calling messy people like you. And God is calling messy people like me to be vessels, to be mouthpieces, to be messengers of his glorious gospel, the glorious good news that a Savior has been born. Did you know Christmas season offers you and I an opportunity like never before? There's no other part of the year where people are walking around Walmart or their grocery store singing about our Savior. Right? There's no other time in the world where sinners are singing about a Savior. But every single department store you go into, they are playing Christmas music. Not all of it has to do with the Savior, but a lot of it has to do with people singing about the Lord, singing about Jesus. What an awesome opportunity when people's minds are leaning towards the story of the Lord for us to say, it doesn't matter how messy my life is, I can still be a messenger for God. Pastor, why would I want to be a messenger for God this morning? Well, I want to answer that question for you the next minutes of time. Number one, you need to be a messenger for God because God wants the good news heard by everybody. Luke chapter 2 says the shepherds were living out or keeping their watch, watching their sheep nearby. The glory of the Lord appeared to them. And he said, hey, I bring you good news that will be for a lot of people. No, he didn't say a lot of people. He didn't say most people. What did he say? That will be great joy for who? For all people. For all people. God wants the good news to be heard by all. God didn't want the birth of his son to go unnoticed, and so he found the only people awake. It was these shepherds who became these messy messengers for him. He appeared to them, or an angel appeared to them and said, listen, I want what is happening in your city, in your village, in your area. I don't want it to go uncelebrated or unnoticed. I want it to be known for all because it's for everybody. But here's what I've discovered. Good news, no matter how good it is, isn't good news unless it's delivered. Right? And so God wanted good news not just to arrive on the scene. He wanted to be announced on the scene. I was reading a story a couple of weeks ago about a Japanese citizen. His name was Hiro. And this is back in the 1940s. And he was called to join the Japanese army. He quickly quit his job and went into training. And he was ordered to an island in the Philippines. And he received this command from his commanding officer. He said, no matter what happens to you, with every breath of your life, you must cause chaos for the enemy. And no matter how bad the war gets or how long it lasts, know this, when the war is over, I will come back and pick you up. But until I get back, you keep fighting the enemy. So Hiro went into the jungles of that island. He was a superior sabotager. That was his skill. He would sabotage the equipment of the enemies. He would sabotage people as they were traveling back and forth. And he began to do this for about a year. And a year after he's been in the jungle sabotaging for the Japanese army, he finally gets this pamphlet. He finds it on the side of the road. He finds this pamphlet that says, the war is over. And he and his few army buddies, they look at the pamphlet and they decide, you know, it hasn't been long enough for the war to be over. This must be propaganda. This cannot be true. And so they go back into the jungle and they begin to create more havoc. They begin to sabotage even more of their enemies' work among them. It begins to get so bad that the Philippine people, they actually they charter a B-52 bomber and they fly over the jungle where Hiro and his army, his comrades are, and they begin to drop thousands of these pamphlets over the jungle to try to communicate to these holdouts that the war is over. And they find hundreds of these pamphlets and they refuse to believe that the war is over, and so they keep on fighting. They fight year after year. They sabotage year after year. For the next 27 years, Hiro stays in the jungle fighting a war that is over. Until finally, 27 years later, a college student who is on break is hiking in this very jungle and comes across Hiro and his one soldier left. And finally, this college student convinces this army official that the war he is fighting is really over. Can I tell you, Christmas celebrates something, that the war between the enemy and mankind has been conquered by a Savior whose name is Jesus, and the war is over if you'll just come to Jesus this morning. But friends, good news is not good news until it's heard, but more than that, good news is not good news until it's believed. A lot of us in this room, we've heard the good news of Christmas, the good news of the story of Jesus coming and being our Savior all of our life. But friends, it's not enough to hear it. You've got to believe it today. You may be wondering, well, what's so good about the good news? Well, let me tell you a few things. Number one, what's so good about the good news is it's for you. The good news is for all people. You know, one of the lies of the enemy, sometimes, I was telling the men's prayer group this morning that sometimes we read the Christmas story so often and so casual and so quickly that we pick up the truths of the Christmas story without understanding the lies that it should be exposing to us, that we believe in our life. And one of the lies that we believe is that God can do great things through other people, but he can't do it for me. But this says the gospel is good news, not for some people, but for all people. That means as messy as you are, as forgivable as you believe you are, as unredeemable you may think you are, no matter how many times you've blown it in the past, the gospel of Jesus is not just for rich people or poor people. It's not just for the up and coming, and it's not just for the down and out, but it's for whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord. That person can be saved today. His heart is for all people. That's why Mark chapter 16, it says, don't go into part of the world and preach the gospel. That's why we need people like Ben who are partnering with us to send the gospel to faraway places that we'll never hear of or never see, because we have not been called as the people of God to preach the gospel to part of the world. Our commission is all the world, all the people at all times. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus said, you got to preach it until the ends of the world, ends of the earth. See, Jesus is very exclusive when it comes to salvation. God is very exclusive when it comes to salvation. Acts chapter 4, verse number 12 says that salvation can be found in no other name except the name of Jesus. There's only one way to God. There's only one way to heaven. His name is Jesus. But the good news is this. Though the way to heaven, the way to God is very exclusive in the way you get there, it is very inclusive in the way that God wishes that none should perish, but all would come to repentance. The good news is for everybody, which means the good news is for you. It's for you today. Here's a second bit of good news, is that a Savior is born. Verse number 2, the word says this. It says, today a Savior is born. You know, sometimes the enemy will lie to you, and he'll lie to me. He'll say things like this. I really don't need a Savior. I mean, after all, I'm not a bad person. But as a matter of fact, if you'll compare me to this person, that person, the one that lives next door to me especially, if you'll compare me to those people, I am a really good guy. That happens all the time. I won't mention names, but there was a political person in the news just a few weeks ago that said he knows that he will have to be led into heaven because of the good things he's done. There's only one way. His name is Jesus. But the good news is that a Savior is born. And here's the thing. If you've ever sinned a bit against God, which I'll be lifting, yep, that's me. I've sinned against God. If you've ever sinned against God, you need a Savior. Romans 3 and 23 says that we've all sinned and fallen short of God's glorious standard. Ecclesiastes says, surely there's no righteous man on earth who goes around and never sins. Isaiah 64 says, we are all infected and impure with sin, but God came to be a Savior. We all have this sin problem, but Jesus came to be our Savior. If there was anyone on the planet who understood the need of a Savior, it was these priestly shepherds who were keeping their flock that night. They knew that the morning was going to come, and they would have to sacrifice one or two or a dozen, I don't know, they would have to sacrifice some of those sheep to cover for people's mistakes, and yet then the day would come when they would have to do that whole process again, because I don't know about you, but sometimes I sin and I mess up, and then I get forgiven by God, and then I sin and I mess up again. Has anyone ever done that before? And so these priestly shepherds, these messy shepherds, they knew everything they were doing for God was only a temporary solution. And so when the angel said, behold, a Savior's born, they knew this was a permanent problem to their persistent issue of needing a Savior. And he's our permanent solution as well. The third part of the good news is this, is that the wait is over. Let me just take another survey. How many of you like to wait? Man, you want to just get under my skin? Make me wait. Whether it's that little rainbow on the computer screen that's spinning, or the thing on the Ruco where it says buffering, or if it's the guy in front of me who's on his 17th shot into the green on a golf course, and I'm back here waiting, whatever it is. If you want to just see how unspiritual I am, you just make me wait. You know, that song that Travis sang fits so good with this message today, because there's a verse in that song that says, long lay the world in sin and error pining. What does that verse of that song mean? It means that for centuries, the year and years and years. The people of God, the people of earth were just waiting. Waiting for what? Waiting for a Savior. Waiting for the night to come when their life could change, where their sins could be forgiven, where their redemption could happen, where their restoration could begin. For centuries, people were just waiting. But when the angel showed up to that shepherd, they said to those shepherds, those priestly shepherds, they said, "Today a Savior is born." Not sometime in the future, but your life can change tonight. Your life can change today. And friends, in 2020, there's still this truth with every Christmas season. Your life can change today. God's not waiting for you to get cleaned up. He's not waiting for you to get your life in order. He's not waiting for you to get everything straight so you can do something great for Him. No, Christmas came because He wants to do something great in you. The good news is the waiting is over. Christmas is not a story about once upon a time. Christmas is an account at an appointed time. Jesus came to be the Savior for you. The good news, here's the next part about the good news, is that confirmation was given. The shepherds returned glorifying, praising God that everything they had heard was exactly, it worked out exactly as they had heard it. You know, there's a lie. I'll never forget when I was in high school. I was having a conversation with a fellow athlete on the team. I'm not going to tell you what sport we were playing because some of you wouldn't consider that a sport. But a fellow athlete on the team that I was on. And we were talking about God, talking about how to get to know God. And I was doing my best to be a good witness. And he was somewhat of a believer. He was trying to believe. But here's what he had been taught. I'm not sure what church background he had, but this was what he had been taught. He said, "You know, Greg, there's really actually no way to know if you're really living for God or if He's pleased with you or if you've been forgiven until after you die. And after you die, then you can discover, did I really live up to what God wanted for my life?" But you know what? Jesus has good news for you. Christmas has good news. They hurried off. See, God offered them confirmation for what He was leading them to do. They found exactly what God had promised. 1 Peter chapter 2, there's this challenge that we can taste and see that God is good. Can I tell you right now, this Christmas season, God wants you to trade the bitter taste of the disappointments of life that's in your heart and in your mouth today, and He wants you to taste of the goodness of God fresh and new. And I believe you can receive that this morning. I believe God can take those things the enemy meant for evil and work them for good in your life today. The wait is over. He's here to do that in your life today. And beyond that, God, here's point number two this morning, is God can use you as a messy messenger to deliver His perfect message. See, here's another lie I want to expose today. There's a lie that says, God can save me, but He can't use me. I want to say this to you this morning. God can save you, and He desires to use you. God can save you. He wants to save you. And He desires to use you this morning. It says, when they'd seen Him, they spread the word concerning what they had seen. These messy messengers, they didn't just keep the good news to themselves. They spread it. They became intentional. They spread the word. The entire event happened. Christ was born when most people were asleep. But the moment it became daylight, these messengers began to spread the good news. Listen, God does not want you to share the message. He doesn't want you to share the message of Christmas with you. He wants you to be a sharer of the message of Christmas with others. And see, when you receive good news, the most immediate response, the most natural response is to share it with someone else. I'll never forget when Megan and I were waiting for Stella to be born. Such a nerve-wracking season of our life. And we've been praying for a child for a decade, and now we're about to have this beautiful child come into our life. Some of you know our stories. There have been a decade of disappointments and things falling through and all this stuff. And so just to kind of guard our hearts, Megan and I looked at each other one night, and Brother Joey, we said, okay, we know this child is coming, but we're not going to tell anybody until she's born and she's healthy and she's in our house. pinky promise, right? I mean, we were serious. 2 days later, we're having another conversation. And Megan looks at me, she said, you know, Greg, I just had to tell my sister. I just had to tell my mom. I just had to tell this person. I said, shh, good, because I had to tell this guy and I had to tell that person. I'm just telling you, when you got good news, the natural thing is to share it, right? These shepherds had good news. A Savior is born. And I just got to ask you, when we're not sharing the good news, is it because we've forgotten how good the good news is? I mean, that my past that used to haunt me has now been clean and forgiven, and I'm set apart from it. Though my life used to be hopeless, now I'm full of hope. Though my heart used to be empty, now I got a joy that's unexplainable because Christmas has come, because Jesus has come, because there's hope living inside of me. God restored to us the joy of our salvation to such a degree that we can't help but share it. Lord, don't let the messiness of my life rob me of the opportunity to share the great message. These shepherds were eyewitnesses, but they became great witnesses of the Savior. And God wants your life to be a great witness of everything you've seen and experienced God do in your life personally. And God can use you. Well, Pastor, how do you know God can use you? I'll tell you why. Because God always keeps his promises. Luke chapter 20, the shepherds returned. They were glorifying. They were praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which was just as they had been told. Verse number 16, let me hit rewind for you. It says, they hurried off and they found, when the angel spoke to them, they hurried off and they found Mary. They found Joseph, the baby who was lying in a manger. See, the enemy will say things to you. And that little example I just shared with about Megan and I, he was saying it to us. So sometimes the enemy will tell you that if it hasn't happened by now, then it's never going to happen. If God hasn't kept his word to you yet, he's never going to keep his word. But that verse in number 16, it says, where they hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph. See, we talked about the wise men 2 weeks ago, how they had this star, this supernatural star that appeared out of nowhere and led them and actually settled on the house where they were laid. The wise men had this star to lead them exactly where Christ was living at that moment. But these shepherds, this is completely different. All they had was a word from an angel to go and search for a child. You'll know when you found him because he'll be lying in a manger. So when they showed up in Bethlehem that night, they had to go to this stable and that stable and this house. Everywhere there was a manger, they had to go and search. So that word, the word that says found, they found him, means that you found him after a search. You know, there's a promise in God's word for those of us who will seek him and search for him. The word says this: you'll find him. They found Jesus. They found the Christ child. They found the promise. And this morning, listen, you can discover God's promises fresh and new today as well. I'll never forget when I was a kid, I found one of my Christmas presents by accident. Seriously, complete accident. I was in the closet looking for one thing and boom, Christmas present. And for the first time in my mind, this light bulb went off. Well, where there's one, there's bound to be more. And so I invited a friend over. Mom and Dad were going to work. I invited a friend over. We tore that house apart. We found every Christmas present for me, my sister. It was awesome. But my loudmouth, dumb friend told my mom that we had found our presents. And then he turned around. And I shouldn't call him dumb, but this is now you got to understand why I said. Then he turns and he says, don't worry, Greg. She's not going to tell anyone. I'm like, she's the one we're not supposed to tell. And so she comes to me and she says, Greg, here's the deal. I'm instituting a new rule. I said, okay. She said, any present you find before Christmas, we're going to give to someone else. So I stopped searching. 2 weeks ago, Amazon package comes to my door. And I'm ripping it open, and I get about halfway open, and Stella comes peeking over my shoulder. She says, "Dad, what is that?" I said, "It's a Christmas present." She said, "Let me see." I said, "Stella, any present you see before Christmas, I'm giving to someone else." Unlike me, God rewards those who search for his gifts and his promises. And when you find it, he doesn't take it away and give it to someone else. When you find it, it's yours to keep. And this morning, I want you to know God's got something that's just for you, and it's yours to keep. Unto you, a child is born. Unto you, a Savior has been given. And it's good news for you if we'll believe it. Would you bow your heads with me this morning all across this room? Today, I don't know if you're living for God, if you're watching online, if you're sitting in the room. I'm not sure if you're serving Jesus wholeheartedly. I'm not sure if you've ever given your life to Jesus. Maybe you did decades ago and your relationship with God has been dormant. Or maybe you just happen to be in the room because it's the Christmas season. Or you're just watching because it's the Christmas season, and watching a church service or attending a church service seemed like the thing to do. Can I tell you there's good news for you this morning? Salvation is for you. Right relationship with God is for you. Having your past forgiven and your future secure is for you. For unto us a Savior is born. Today, that good news, it's yours. But it's not yours because you hear it. It's yours when you begin to believe it. See, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says that if we are faithful to confess our sins, that he is faithful to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from everything that's not right. So this morning, say, "Pastor, I'm not right with God. I'm not following Jesus. I'm not a Christ follower." Whether maybe one time you started serving years ago, or maybe you've never started serving Jesus, but right now, there's just something tugging on your life that you cannot explain except for it must be the Spirit of God speaking to me, telling me this is my day to get my life right with him. If that's you today, I'm not going to single you out or embarrass you, but I'd love to include you in a prayer in just a moment. If that's you today, you say, "Pastor, pray for me, because today I need to get my life right with God." Just lift a hand real quick. Says me, "Pastor, pray for me." Amen. 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 Salvation is for you today. Several people lifted their hands this morning, so I'm going to say a prayer. I want to ask everyone in the room to say this prayer out loud with me. I want to ask you to say it loud enough so the person next to you can hear you say it, because we've all said the prayer like this before. And I've said it a million times. Repeating a prayer doesn't change anyone or anything, but saying a prayer from your heart can change everything. So let's pray this prayer together. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for being my Savior. I ask you today to please forgive me my sins. Cleanse me from everything that's not right. I believe that you're the Son of God, that you lived, you died, and you rose again for me. So from this moment forward, I accept the good news that you're my Savior, you're my leader. My future secured, not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. And so from this moment forward, I'm going to follow you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't you give the Lord a hand clap with those who are choosing Jesus for the very first time. And if today you're choosing the Lord for the very first time on your way out at the Connect Center, there's a gift I'd love to give to you. Say, what do I do now that I'm following Jesus? Your first 30 days following him. Second prayer I want to pray before you go. Title of this message is Messy Messengers. Some of you are sitting there this morning thinking, "Pastor, that's great, that's wonderful. I'm glad Jesus saved me. I'm glad he's changed my life. I'm glad he can help people. I'm glad he can use people." But I want to remind you this morning, God wants to use you. No matter how much of a mess you feel like your life is in, "Pastor, you don't understand what's going on in my house, my marriage, my family, my job. God uses messy messengers. He's not looking for perfect messengers. He's just looking for someone who will realize the greatness of the moment he's given us to share his love with someone else and be faithful to do it. So I want to pray this morning. This is our closing prayer, that God will use all of us, not because we're perfect, but because he's good. He's going to use us this season to be his messengers. Messengers of the good news, even when we ourselves are messy. Father, I thank you for every person within the sound of my voice. I thank you, Lord, that today you've spoken to people. I'm thankful you have promises for us. They're not promises that are maybe. They're promises that are yes and they're amen. And God, I pray that today there's some that have heard the promise of God about certain areas of their life, but they've never claimed it. They've never searched for it. They've never intently followed you to grab a hold of it. I pray this season, Lord, as those shepherds discovered the promises of God were true, God, keep your promises to people all across this room. Be with them. Be Emmanuel. Be God with them this season. And use us in what may seem like the messiest moments of our life to be faithful messengers for you. So, Father, I pray today, I pray you'll bless the people. Lord, I pray you'll bless them and keep them. Let your face shine upon them, give them peace and joy, both now and forever. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.